In Colossians, it says that we are to teach one another by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, one to another. That sounds kind of weird when you read it, because you think, well, so, okay, we'll make an appointment and you come in and we'll sit and you sing to me and I'll sing to you. That's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about what we just did. That as we sing these songs, I was in the middle of singing them, man, you know, thank you. Got wires all over. Thank you for coming, because you helped me. And as you sing, and as we sing, we're singing to the Lord, but we're also singing to one another the truths of these songs. And as we sing, we're teaching one another and reminding one another about Christ. And there's something about you singing with me that helps my heart, because I know it's not just me in this little bubble that believes this, but I know there's others, and they are singing to the Lord. And that helps me to sing to the Lord, and it encourages my heart. So, thank you for coming and singing with us. Well, we're in the middle of our SHAPE series. That's an acronym. And we've walked through spiritual gifts, we've walked through heart passions, and this morning we're talking about abilities, this week in our groups as well. You know, some of you can cook. Some of you are good at electrical work. Some of you can work on cars. Some of you are good at math and can figure out math problems. And some of you aren't good at those things. You're good at something else. And it's not something that maybe, yes, it's something you may have developed, but there's something about God hardwiring us with certain just natural abilities. Just brains that work a certain way. Brains that are just creative in certain ways. And it's from birth. We can develop that, but we can't necessarily get that from birth. So we're going to talk about abilities, but let me say this, that what we're going to do this week, is very, very dangerous, talking about abilities. Because what happens is our heart can so easily begin to trust in our abilities. We're going to list them. We're going to list them. You may already have done that. We've actually got some sheets in the back. If you weren't at Growth Groups this last week, you can pick up a sheet and work through that. But what can happen is, as you're listing what you've done, as you're listing maybe your education, maybe your abilities, you can begin to think, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I'm good at that. And your heart can shift and start to trust on what you bring to the table. So that when you face a crisis, when you see an opportunity to serve God, you can begin to rely on your abilities. Rely on what you can do rather than depend on, trust in the Lord. And we can begin to say, if anything's going to happen here in this situation, I got to do it. And maybe we don't think of that so clearly, but that's what can happen in our hearts. So as we talk about abilities this week, we have to talk about trust. We have to talk about trust. Because if we don't, we'll begin to trust in our abilities. So what we're going to do is look at 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. The story of David and Goliath. Who has heard of the story of David and Goliath? I mean, even if someone in our culture has never read the Bible, they are familiar with that picture, David and Goliath. It's almost a metaphor now. It's almost an illustration. You know, the underdog team, David, beats the powerful team, Goliath. What we're going to do is we're going to read the whole story. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's too big to put on the screen. So what we're going to do is I've copied it off. It's in a bifold sheet in your program. It's kind of a gray color. I'm going to read it. And what I want you to do is listen closely for those two things. Listen closely for the abilities of David and the abilities of Goliath. God goes to great lengths to record what they bring to the table in this battle. So watch for that. Also watch for where is their trust. Listen, where is Goliath's trust? Where is David's trust? Where is the Philistines' trust? Where is the Israelites' trust? 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read it. You follow along silently. And what I want to do, it's going to take a few minutes, but I'll tell you, this is the most important thing we're going to do this morning. is read this story and just absorb God's Word and let it speak to us. Let me read it. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. It didn't belong to the Philistines. It belonged to Judah. They were attacking. And they encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley in between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion, a hero, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 10 feet tall. He was 10 feet tall. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, or 125 pounds. His chest armor was 125 pounds. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, or 15 pounds. The tip of his spear was 15 pounds. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the king, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to battle. And the names of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening, 40 days. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token, some word from them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning. Page turn. Everybody got it? And left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host or the army was going out to the battle, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." I'm going to skip a few verses and go to 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Listen, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So he put them off. Then he took his staff. He took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy. That word means red. He had red hair maybe and a fair complexion. Ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the battle that the Lord saves, not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shearim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. That story, true story, never, every time I read that, there's so much in there that impacts me. That is an incredible story. Did you hear how the abilities of Goliath were listed? Did you hear that? And David, did you hear where their trust was? Now, there's so much in here. And part of why I wanted to read that through is I just wanted the Lord to be able to just share that story and speak to you through that. We're going to talk about 3 specific things, but there's so much more in this. Here's the first thing we want to see. Don't trust in your abilities. That's the first lesson for us. Don't trust in your abilities. Don't think that if something is going to happen, it's all up to what you can do. Don't think that is the only resource that is there. Don't trust, don't lean on, don't rely on that. Now, the first main character here, the first one we're introduced to is Goliath. And if there was ever a qualified soldier, it was Goliath, right? I mean, did you hear all of those things that were listed about Goliath? He was 10 feet tall. I have to give something to help us here. I bought a 10-foot 2x4. Because I think it's one thing to hear it and say, wow, he was tall. 10 feet tall. And he wasn't just, like some of those NBA players today that are just like string beans, poles. He was tall. He didn't fight with you or at you. Goliath fought down at you. He attacked from the top, 10 feet tall. He had the height. Goliath had the strength, right? 125 pound chest armor, armor on his legs that were made of bronze. Bronze is heavy. His helmet was made of bronze. He had a javelin behind his shoulders, and his spear, the tip of his spear, we heard, weighed 15 pounds. He wasn't just carrying that. He was throwing that at people. Goliath had the height. He had the strength. And you hear what Saul said to David? He has been a fighting man since his youth. I played basketball with some guys that were tall, but they were clumsy, and they couldn't do anything. This wasn't Goliath. He was tall, he was strong, and he was experienced. And he could use his abilities to attack you. Height, strength, experience, and man, if there was ever a self-confident guy, right? If there was ever a self-confident guy, it was Goliath. 40 days he comes out in the morning, 40 days he comes out in the evening, and he calls the whole army of the Israelites out. He is totally confident in his abilities that he can take any man, or probably dozens of them, from the Israelite army. Goliath had the full package. If there was an able man, it was Goliath. Now, where was Goliath's trust, do you think? In himself. He's 10 feet tall. He had more armor on and more to battle than most guys can carry. He had abilities, he had trust in himself. Where do you think the Philistines' trust was? In Goliath's abilities, right? That's why they sent him out. They're like, well, let's take a vote. Who's the best warrior? Goliath. You know, he's clearly got the most abilities. We're going to send him out. Philistines, to the point where they put their trust in Goliath so much that if Goliath did not win, they were all going to be servants for the rest of their life. They put their hands in the life, they put their life in the hands of Goliath and his abilities. Now, where was Saul? Saul was the king at that point. Where was Saul and the Israelites' trust? A couple places. One is they trusted in Goliath's abilities too, right? They're like, you know, I'm pretty sure that he can take me. I'm pretty sure. In fact, I'm not going out there. In fact, when he comes out, I'm going to flee. They trusted in Goliath's abilities too, right? But they also trusted, and stay with me here, they also trusted in their own abilities or lack of. Because, you know, they look at Goliath and then they think, well, I'm like 5'7". And they look at his armor and they say, well, my coat of mail weighs like 10 pounds. And my, you know, the tip of my spear is like 2 pounds. And wow, I haven't been fine as long as he has, and I can't do it. What they're saying is, I'm trusting in my resources, and I'm seeing that my resources are not enough. And so, I'm scared. See, Goliath's confidence, his trust in his abilities, led him to arrogance. Saul and the Israelites' trust in their own abilities led them to cowardice and fear. But it was the same root. Do you see that? Neither one of them mentioned God. God's not even an equation, except Saul says to David, you almost get the idea, it's like, go and God be with you because you're going to need it. See, Saul and the Israelites were right. They couldn't do it. But their problem was it stopped there. They didn't let that push them into trust in the Lord. They just stayed in the trust in themselves. Now, I don't know whether you wrestle more with, a bad kind of self-confidence in the sense that you just think you can do it without any help from God or others. I don't know if you wrestle with arrogance in trusting in your own abilities, or if you wrestle with fear and cowardice and thinking, I can't do this. To be honest with you, I go back and forth, right? One day it could be this. I can do it. I can do it. And I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about my abilities. Or the next day I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking about my lack of abilities. See, here's the lesson for us. Don't trust in your abilities. It will either lead you to arrogance or it will lead you to fear. Don't trust in your own abilities. But here's the second lesson. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. When you look at a situation, an opportunity to serve, don't say, I can do it and stop there. When you look at an opportunity, when you see a crisis, when you see a struggle or a situation, put your trust in the Lord. Think to yourself, if this is going to happen, God's got to do it. Put your trust in the Lord. David comes on the scene. Now, the scripture goes to great lengths to show us the smallness of David. It goes to great lengths to show us how lacking in qualifications or abilities David had. If Goliath was the most able warrior on the field, David was clearly the least able. He's described as the youngest of 8 sons. His 3 older brothers were off at battle, but he was too young to go to battle. What was he doing? He was a shepherd, watching his dad's sheep. He was still under his father's authority. He was the gopher, right? He was the messenger delivering lunch to his brothers. Had never, or couldn't use a sword in battle, couldn't wear armor in battle, had no experience on the battlefield. This bothered Saul. It worried Saul. Did you hear him say, you're just a youth. You can't do this. Saul was a little worried. He gave him his armor. Goliath was annoyed and even offended at David's smallness. You almost get the picture. It wounded his pride that this army would send out a boy. Who am I? Am I a dog? Am I weak that you would come at me with a stick? See, it worried Saul. It annoyed and offended Goliath, but it didn't bother David, did it? His lack of ability, his smallness did not bother David. Why? Because his trust was in the Lord, not in his ability. So it didn't matter how many abilities he had or how few he had. He wasn't arrogant and he wasn't afraid. Because his trust was in the Lord. Did you hear that? Verse 37. David says when he talks to Saul, he says, David said, the Lord who delivered me, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David didn't say, ooh, me, I have a slingshot and I'm really good shot. I can do this. That's not what he said, did he? He said, no, the Lord will deliver me. Didn't even mention his slingshot yet. When he's talking to Goliath in verse 45, he said to him, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you with a slingshot. Is that what he said? No. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you down and I will cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves. The Lord saves, not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand. David wasn't afraid and he wasn't arrogant because he was trusting in the Lord. And he said, this battle, Goliath, is not about your spear and it's not about my slingshot. This battle is the Lord's and He will deliver you. David's trust was in the Lord. See, today, heroes in our culture are those who are the most able. The ones you see on the front of the magazines, the ones that are the celebrities, are the strong ones, right? The strongest ones that can hit the ball far, that can run fast, that are really smart, and can make a lot of money and invent new things, that have looks and can act. And they're lifted up in our culture because of their abilities. That's what it is. But it's nothing new. Who did the Philistines send out? The one with the most abilities. Who was their champion? Who was their hero? Here's Goliath. He's our hero. And so they send him out to battle. You see, God sends out His champion. God sent out David. What we didn't read was that in chapter 16, because the king Saul did not trust in the Lord. Yeah, he was a head taller than all the other people. Saul was not as tall as Goliath, but Saul was tall. He looked like a king. He looked like he had the full package, but he trusted in himself and not in the Lord. And so God, in chapter 16, the chapter just before, anointed and chose and announced that David was going to be his king, his next king, even when he was a boy. And so he was anointed king. He was made king. And what happens here is in chapter 17, right after God calls David and says, you're going to be the next king, David, or God, kind of does a loop around Saul and around the Israelites. The Philistines send out their hero, their champion, Goliath, and God sends out a man after His own heart. God sends out His champion onto the battlefield, not because of his abilities, but because of his trust in the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 10. It's in your outline on the back. Psalm 147, verse 10. Defines what God sees as a hero. What God sees, not His hero, but what God shows us we should look at as a hero and as a champion. Verse 10. His delight, God's delight, is not in the strength of the horse, nor His pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. See, God, what delights God's heart, what He takes pleasure in, is not seeing the strength of a man, not seeing how far a man can hit a ball. And there's nothing wrong with how far a man hits a ball. But God says, what I'm looking for, you know what pleases me? The Lord says, what pleases me is when you trust me. When you put your hope in my unfailing love. When you are in awe of me. In Psalm 147, the man who fears me. The one who is in awe of me. See, the Israelites and Saul were fearing and in awe of Goliath's abilities. God said, no, what pleases me is when you have awe of me. And that in a sense you fear my abilities. That you see me as the strongest. That's what God delights in. And we say, well, I want to have that kind of trust. I mean, to be honest with you, every time I read this story, I'm so convicted. I'm like, my goodness, I wouldn't have done that, what David did. There's something in our souls that wants to trust like that. That wants to put our full trust in the God who saves. And yet, we can struggle with arrogance or fear. So how do we have that kind of trust? Again, when we look back to the chapter before this, chapter 17 and chapter 16, verse 13, I put it again in the back of your program. This is so important for us to see, so important, because in chapter 16 and verse 13, then Samuel, the prophet, took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. Remember, this is before David and Goliath. He anointed him king, chose him king. And listen, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. From that day forward. I don't know if it was a week or a month or a year. The reason David had the boldness and the trust and the strength to face off against Goliath is because the Spirit of the Lord, God, had rushed on him. Here's the greatest danger this morning, that we walk out and we go, man, you know what? I'm going to use my abilities to just serve God and do great things for God. And we try and we try and we just can't. Even when we try to trust, we can't. See, without the Spirit of God, we cannot have that kind of faith. We cannot have that kind of courage. The reason David did it and Saul didn't, was not just because David trusted and Saul didn't, but because the Spirit of God had rushed on David and the Spirit of God had left Saul when Saul disobeyed and rebelled against God. What that means is that if you are not a Christian, if you are not a Christian, if you have never come to terms with your sin and said, I know I cannot make a way to make up for this, that the only way I can be forgiven is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He gave His life. He faced the punishment that I deserve, the wrath of God, the anger of God, the just judgment of God towards my sin. I deserve that, but Jesus took it. And I understand that, and I'm going to submit, I'm going to repent and believe and put my faith in Christ. The Bible says that when we do that, when God does that in our hearts, that His Spirit comes in. And the Spirit of the living God is in us and changes us. And our heart can pump with courage and with trust in God. What that means is if you are a Christian, you must rely on the Spirit of God. You must, as the New Testament talks about, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. What that means is don't just do life relying on your own abilities, Christian. Do life relying on the Spirit of God in you to give you the strength to do what He calls you to do. Don't put your trust in your abilities. Trust in the Lord. But here's the third thing. Use your abilities. The third thing, as we talk about abilities, you say, well, use your abilities. Wait a second. I thought we just said we're not supposed to trust in our abilities. Now you're saying use them. Well, see, we're not supposed to trust in our abilities. But what did David use to defeat Goliath? Slingshot. Is that the first time he had probably ever shot a slingshot? He's a pretty good shot. See, the picture here is not that he picked one up at, you know, the sporting goods store on his way to the battlefield. And then he said, I don't know how this thing works, but I'm going to fling it. And God's just going to, you know, yes, God directed that and God gave him success. But here's the thing, David had used that before. He was able to use a slingshot. Where did he get that skill? There's a couple things I want us to see here. Very important. See, David got that skill by being faithful at the small things. All right, he was just a shepherd in the field watching his dad's sheep. They weren't even his sheep. They were his dad's sheep. He was faithful at protecting those smelly, wandering sheep as he spent nights under the stars, probably cold many nights. And he would probably practice in the field. We're led to believe that he used that slingshot to defeat the bear, to defeat the lion. He struck them, he said. And it was in the faithfulness of the small things that David developed this ability with a slingshot. Now, clearly it was inferior to the armor and the weapons that Goliath had. But it was in the small things that David did in being faithful to the Lord and faithful to his father and faithful to his calling as a boy. And God used that David trusted in the Lord, but he used his abilities. Do you think David was ever in the field, like using a slingshot, thinking to himself, man, I got to get really good at this because someday, I bet someday I'm going to defeat a big giant on the battlefield. Do you think he ever thought that? I mean, we don't know, but probably not. Right? You get the picture here. This wasn't like a life goal to defeat a giant on the battlefield. He's just faithful. And he was trusting the Lord and he was going to go for it. And he tried it. Yeah, there's other things, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to go with what I know. And he used the slingshot. Here's the lesson. Be faithful. We need to be faithful in the small things. Because in the small things is where our abilities are developed, and God, who doesn't need our abilities, to be honest with you, that when we're faithful in the small things, God can use those. We give up God our abilities, and He uses them sometimes in bigger things. Be faithful in the little things. There's another thing here with using your abilities. It's important for you to use your abilities, not somebody else's. See, David tried that, didn't he? Saul tried that. Saul's worried. He says, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you my armor. The picture is David couldn't even get out of the tent. He's like, and he had never tested these, never used them, didn't know what to do with them. Now, he could have gone one of three ways, okay? He could have just thought, well, you know, this is what a soldier does. I'm trusting the Lord, and so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to defeat Goliath. And he'd kind of hobble and wobble out there. He could have done that, just kind of gutted through it, trying to use what another man uses, trying to use what everybody, common wisdom says, needs to use. He could have just put it on and said, I can't even move, forget it. You know what? This whole thing was a dumb idea. Clearly, I don't have the ability to do this. He could have taken off the armor and he could have gone back to the sheep with his head down. But he didn't. What he did, he didn't gut it out. He didn't walk away. He said, you know what? I'm just going to use what I know. I'm going to use what I know. It may seem small, maybe small, but I'm just going to use what I know. It's the slingshot. It's the staff. It's the shepherd's bag. I'm going to choose five rocks. And he went to battle. See, part of us listing our abilities, There's a danger for us to think, you know, because I'm not like so-and-so, or because I can't do this, I can't do anything. But, see, what we need to do is trust in the Lord and not despise our abilities. With our heart firmly planted in trust of the Lord, just go with what you know. Just go with what you know. Because you know what? Here's the thing. It's not about the sword and the spear. The battle is the Lord's. And though He will use your abilities aren't what bring the victory. So don't worry about that. But use what you know. Now, embedded in this story is the message of the gospel. Don't trust in your abilities. Trust in the Lord. Use your abilities. Embedded in this story is the message of the gospel. See, the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, Jesus' message was not, watch how I live, and then try real hard and do that too. That's not what Jesus' message was. Jesus didn't come to earth just to be your example. Just to say, try real hard, or even trust real hard, and do what I do. No. The message of Jesus is, don't put your trust in your abilities. There is nothing you bring to the table that can make you right with God. There's nothing you bring to the table that can do an end round against the punishment you deserve for your rebellion against God. There's nothing you can do. You are hopeless on your own. You are not able. So, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Because He is able. And that's why He came. Because He died on a cross, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. That He took our unrighteousness and so that we could have His righteousness. When we trust in the Lord and we come to the cross And we forsake trust in ourselves and our abilities. We trust in the Lord. And you know what happens? An amazing thing happens. The Lord puts His Spirit in us and He uses us. Not because He has to. Not because He looks around and says, wow, there's a guy that's really skilled. I could really use him on my team. And so I'm going to sign him. That's not what God does. God says He looks to and fro throughout the whole earth to see whose heart is steadfast on Him, the one who trusts in Him, the one who is in awe of Him. Here's the qualification. Trust in the Lord and be in awe of Him and look to Him and not yourself. That's the gospel. That's Jesus. That's why He came. So, let's be careful this week as we do list our abilities. Guard our hearts and say, Lord, I want to trust in You. But Lord, I also don't want to use another man's armor. Lord, I want to be faithful where my feet are planted in the small things with what You've given me to do. Help me. Let's pray. God, we thank You. God, we thank You that this story is not about Goliath. And it's not about David. And it's not about Saul. It's about You. Because the battle is the Lord's. God, may this story do what David said it would do. May it help the whole earth know, including the small piece of earth here that we're sitting in, that there is a God who is strong and who does not take pleasure in the strength of a man, but takes pleasure in the trust of a man and the worship of a man. Not because he needs it, not because he needs to be happy, but because that brings delight to his heart. God, may we be rallied, may our hearts be stirred to come to the cross repeatedly and trust in the Spirit of God to give us boldness and faith and courage to live for the honor of the only one who deserves honor. And Lord, we praise You and we thank You. We pray this in Your name. Amen.